right, welcome back to another episode of Picking Up the Check. It's Frank Morano and Kevin McCullough. Today, not in our normal watering hole of Trinity Place in Lower Manhattan. No. Where are we, Frank?
Yeah, we're on Stone Street, in between the Dubliner and
the Smokehouse.
The Smokehouse, perfect.
Yes. Route 66 Smokehouse.
That's right.
And the reason we're here today is because it's the first.
We're doing good.
We're doing well. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Actually, I'll take one more. Yeah. Yeah, I just ordered a drink called the penicillin. Frank is on his second bullet.
That's right.
Straight.
Neat. That's right. Because straight would have mean it was chilled with
and
ice.
And then in a martini glass.
That's right. Right.
See, we are very particular about the serving of alcohol.
Yeah, sometimes people will ask for neat and mean straight, and vice versa.
Right. And anyway, so we didn't really know what to talk about today. So you've handed me today's edition of the New York Post.
That's right.
Which has on its cover Mayor de Blasio dressed as Fred Flintstone.
That's right. He's unveiled a plan which will be implemented in the year 2030, long after he's gone.
And I always wonder about that. Yeah, How do politicians pass budgets, plans,
laws
that don't kick in until they leave office?
It's impossible.
And can't the next guy that comes after him completely undo it?
Of course, and they do. But he's unveiled a plan to prohibit the use of glass and steel when it comes to skyscrapers.
So we're going to live in Lego buildings
from now on.
We're
going to live in stone, like the Flintstones.
Lego buildings.
I'm sure there's something in Legos that we shouldn't be building with as well. So at this point, we're at stone.
Well, they are plastic and probably made of artificial color, but that's a different thing. So as I was thumbing through, the first thing I came to, which was on page 2, is, I don't know, a rather attractive
Very scantily
shot
clad
of one Megyn Kelly.
That's right.
In probably a very expensive Gucci bikini.
Well, I don't know how expensive it could be. There's not a lot of material there.
Right, but I'm pretty sure that's Gucci based on the latches on the different places there. And she's evidently on a surfboard.
Yeah. Also happens to be completely made up. Eyeliner, lipstick. Isn't that what everyone does when they're swimming and surfing on vacation? They're all dolled up and there just happens to be a photographer with a telephoto lens positioned to take a full body shot
of
them on a
surfboard. Now, in full disclosure, I am a friend of Megan's.
Yeah, I don't know her, but I think I've met her once or twice.
Even since she's lost her position with NBC, we've been in contact and we've been talking about what she plans to do and how she's going to kind of reemerge as a media personality. I don't think there's any specific plans on the
She's actively looking. I mean, last I heard, she was a runner. She was in contention to be the new host of the Kevin McCullough program. Jerry's trying to get her to take the job, but he can't get her to take it for your salary.
No, I'm sure not. Right. So the interesting thing about this is, do you think she got a raw deal with NBC?
That's such a good question, right? So in the media, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, right? You know, she wasn't generating the ratings of the show that she replaced or the show that took over for her. It looked to me like they were looking for a reason to get rid of her. I think the whole blackface thing that they based her dismissal on was completely absurd. I mean, not quite as absurd as taking down the statue of Kate Smith as if she's Saddam Hussein in Bathurst, Iraq. But almost that stupid. I don't think there's any reading of what Megyn Kelly said there viewed either that incident in of itself or in the context of her career that can be thought of as racist. But that doesn't, there was a lot of factors that go into everybody's firing. So if she wasn't generating the ratings and NBC had every right to get rid of her, if that's what they said it was, it's unfortunate, but that's the business we're in.
I think that NBC knew that they didn't really have grounds to fire her. And I think that's why she got her full full salary. Like, they tried to fight it, and they tried to make a thing. But I was on Megan's show when she was in daytime, and the highest rated, by the way, daytime cable show in all of cable, not just in news, but like everything that was. She was the only host at Fox at the time that had 2 hours as a solo host. Everybody else that had 2 hour shows.
Even if you're in prime time on cable, though, especially in cable news, even the best show ratings wise in cable news is going to get 2.5 million viewers, and that's not as good as the worst show on broadcast television.
In some situations, you're right. Actually, Fox in the last presidential cycle beat some of the primetime networks on a couple of occasions.
I think primetime broadcast networks?
Primetime broadcast networks. And I think one of them was one of the presidential debates, and then I think another may have been election night. I think they actually beat ABC, NBC, CBS on election night coverage when it went late and Trump all of a sudden started making a comeback in the Rust Belt, and nobody knew what was going to happen. KMC did. Nobody else did.
That's true. But
in terms of like the cable universe, though, she could write her ticket because she had dominated daytime. They put her in evenings. She occasionally beat O'Reilly, who was on the hour before her. And then NBC wrote her the big check and made her all the guarantees. So that's kind of like, hey, you didn't plan well as a network when you hired her, thinking that you know, would never not work out.
I mean, I think she's going to have any number of opportunities. She certainly, when you have that much name recognition and that much of a social media following.
You think Fox should take her back?
You know what? I mean, Fox should do what they want to do. I don't care what Fox does. I think it, given her, you know, the hostility between her and President Trump and the current makeup as of Fox, with the exception of one or two anchors, as an unabashedly pro-Trump network, I think she'd have a tough time. And if you look at the show that's in her former time slot, you know, it's doing very well at prime time. I don't know what the daytime lineup is doing, but
thank you.
But I think it might be worth. I think maybe she could do something in new media. I'd love her to try and do something in radio. You know, she's a hardworking journalist, very intelligent.
That's the thing I was going to say, and this is the thing I think that the Trump supporters always like. And I've got some that come on my show regularly that just hate her because she asked that one question of Trump in that first debate.
No, it's more than that. I mean, she clearly was not fond of Donald Trump, and that's fine. You don't have to be, but it's far beyond just that one.
That was the thing that spoiled at least the Fox audience. Mm-hmm. They were like, okay, but I do think, and I have to say this, so. When we would do her show in the afternoons, they'd always have me on with the left of center guy and our girl. And we'd go in and we'd do the hit. And we'd both come away thinking we totally had the better of the other person. And it was usually because she was so well-versed on whatever we were talking about that if she sensed a weakness in your argument, she would pounce on you. And you really had to know your stuff. Like, I've been on a lot of Fox shows. There's not another show I've been on since that I had to work as hard to be on top of the game of since.
Well, I mean,
Harris is a close second, but it's not quite where it was. She just had this instinct of knowing that you were BSing, and she'd call you on it.
Well, look, I don't think they assign cable news shows based on how hard Kevin McCullough has to work to be a guest on them. That being said, I think, you know, your point's well taken.
It made for interesting TV.
You know, I think Chris Wallace is got another guy that similarly finds holes in his guests' arguments. And
I'm rolling my eyes right now.
Yeah, you don't like Chris Wallace.
I think Chris is okay. I don't think he's that low. I don't think he's his dad by a long shot.
Look, it's a different era. It's a different era of the news media than there was 40, even 30 years ago.
Why won't Chris do Mike Gallagher's show anymore?
I don't know. He used to do John Gambling's show every Friday, too. He stopped doing everything, I think, with maybe one or two exceptions for... I know he does some of the Fox talk shows.
They did get in a little bit of trouble when they started calling Kelly Clarkson fat.
Right. And It was not just that. It was one or two other items.
I think that was...
There was like a couple that he got.
I think that was the one that like did him in. Because it was right at the height of the Me Too thing. And you're talking about how many more pieces of pizza that Kelly Clarkson should eat.
Yeah, that was about 2 years before the Me Too thing, I think. And I think Megyn Kelly's allegations about Roger Ailes, that was at the height of the Me Too.
Which she never disclosed publicly. She did that under grand jury. Or not grand jury, but she did that under... what's the word?
Internal investigation.
No. So Gretchen Carlson filed the suit.
Yeah.
And then they were going to people and they were subpoenaing them to come and give, what's it called? Testimony. But it's before you're in court. It's the...
Deposition.
Uh-huh. Under deposition, she admitted that there had been some things, but she never went public with that.
Well, she wrote a book.
That came out after the deposition material was publicly available.
I don't think she needed a lot of prod. And she went on television. She did a whole series of television commentaries and interviews talking about what a predator Roger Ailes was. You know,
I didn't see those.
I'll be happy to send them.
Okay, send the links.
They're not hard to find, but I'll be happy to send them to you. I know you were busy preparing for
the inevitable
Megyn Kelly interview request.
the other people that came forward and said things, she didn't do that. Like, she could have done that a long time ago. She didn't. She did it under deposition.
She waited until Roger Ailes gave her a primetime television show and a multi-million dollar contract. And then, as Roger Ailes was already on the ropes with a series of other allegations,
Frank's definitively jaded on the...
Then chose to... that's the moment that she's going to come out. While the guy's got cancer and everything else. And in the midst of public disgrace, that's when she's going to come out.
All right. So, for the record, Frank Morano, not a fan.
No, I like her on television. I liked her more. I thought she did...
I think she's one of the hardest working journalists in the game.
I don't dispute that. I think on Twitter, I follow her on Twitter once in a while. And I find her making very cogent arguments in something I have a tough time with, only 140 characters or whatever you're up to now, 280. I think that we'd be better off with Megyn Kelly in journalism than sitting on a surfboard waiting to be photographed.
I agree, which I don't think she was doing. I think she was just on vacation.
I would love for the women...
And somebody snapped her.
I would love for the women in the vast Picking Up the Check audience to weigh in after looking at that photo and tell me if there's any woman, especially someone in her late 40s, even if they're models or actresses, that when they don't know they're being photographed, look like that. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find one.
Okay, fair enough. And I'll say this. Of all the people that I ever interacted with at Fox that dressed provocatively to be on TV, Megan was not one of them.
I'm sure you're right. So, I'm sure you're right.
It's not something that she does regularly, let's put it that way. Okay, let me ask you about one other thing. You mentioned the statue of Kate Smith.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our listeners may not know about this, but it has turned into a rather big controversy amongst the Yankee faithful in New York. Explain what happened.
This is the most disgraceful thing I've ever seen in my life. So
now, wait a minute. That's a huge statement.
Yes, and
the
I stand
most
by that.
Disgraceful thing.
Yes,
Frank Morano's ever seen in his life.
Horrible. I mean, not including anything criminal. Look, have there been murders and assaults that have been worse than what we're seeing now? Yes, of course. But beyond anything criminal, this is absolutely horrific. So, since 2001. The Yankees have played Kate Smith's version of God Bless America at every game, I think during the seventh inning stretch. It's the most famous version by far of God Bless America. The Flyers, the Philadelphia Flyers, not only performed it, not only played the recording every day, but had her perform it a few years before she died. Before she died, President Reagan gave her the Medal of Freedom. The Philadelphia Flyers put up a statue of them, of her, outside of their stadium, a year after she died. During World War II, she and her husband raised about $600 million worth of money in war bonds to fight and win World War II.
$600 million
yes,
in 1940.
Yes, yes. So she was someone who was a beloved entertainer, who one of the most popular female entertainers in the country, as described by the New York Times at the time of her death, was given while she was alive a Presidential Medal of Freedom. after she died, a statue, and was so identified with maybe the second most iconic patriotic song of all time, that when there was the worst domestic terrorist attack in American history, that's the version that we chose to play. And apparently, over the course of the last couple of months, we found that in 1931, she recorded two songs that included racially insensitive lyrics. Now, one of those songs was a parody of racism itself. Now, she didn't write either of these songs.
Right.
But the lyrics are...
But if it's a parody, it's mocking racism.
Yes, it's okay. Mocking racism. That's one of the songs.
Right.
There's one that
so,
I don't know
so
if there's an easy...
So we want to mock
racism. Just
we
like
want
when,
to denigrate racism
when,
in every way
when,
possible.
When Hitler was mocked by Mel Brooks in The Producers and all these other plays, no one's accusing Mel Brooks of being pro-Nazi.
Right.
He hated Hitler. Getting back at Hitler with humor. And then she was in some commercial or some ad. It wasn't a TV commercial, but she appeared in a print ad or something for... an ad that contained racially insensitive imagery in the 30s, early 30s. And that we're going to take her statue down as if this is the Soviet Union after she's gone. Her family's heartbroken. So many fans of the Flyers and the Yankees are sick over this. And I commend and I will be formally commending this Sunday, the Wildwood Mayor, where they also perform or play the recording of her version of this song every day on the boardwalk in Wildwood. They're going to keep doing it. So it's amazing to me that we've had two major professional sports teams bow so quickly to political correctness that they're not only going to stop playing her song, but in the case of the Flyers, they're going to actually first cover and then remove her statue. This is everything that's wrong with America today. Judging 1931 by 2019 standards, taking a woman who was honored before and after her death, and saying, now that she's not here to defend herself, act as if she's, you know, this horrible racist. It makes me sick. This is exactly what I think motivates so many Donald Trump voters who either don't know where Donald Trump is on policy,
right,
or they might disagree with him on policy, but
they
Donald
vote for
Trump,
him anyway.
because Donald Trump's candidacy, both in 2016 and I think in 2020, is the perfect rejoinder to political correctness. So maybe you don't agree with Trump on the taxes, maybe you don't agree with him on healthcare, maybe you don't agree with him on some foreign policy thing, but then you see him as the only politician in America that's unabashedly politically incorrect, and you almost feel that that's our chance to stick it to the establishment. That's our chance to stick it to the politically correct censors who want to, of all things, stop Kate Smith and God Bless America. I can't even believe that I'm having this conversation.
No, I know. It's a surreal thing. And the so what is their ultimate goal? It's to, like, sterilize everything about American life to the degree that we don't ever, come into contact with our past sins? Only reason we are a better society or can be a better society tomorrow is because we recognize that maybe today we didn't do it all right.
That's exactly right.
But if we never realize that, I don't want them to not teach about Thomas Jefferson and some of the founders because of their wrongs. I want to know their wrongs. And I want them to explain
King,
what they,
for instance,
100%.
You know, if you walk down the canyon,
Franklin
of heroes,
Roosevelt,
yeah,
Ronald Reagan, faux pas.
If you're looking for a list of perfect Americans that are,
you're never going to find them.
Or perfect human beings, from Mother Teresa to George Washington, there's a list of zero. Okay?
Right.
So we can walk down the list of the Canyon of Heroes right now and see all the people. I'll take one last one. Thank you.
You
want a penicillin?
Yeah. Another one, yeah?
Yes.
Check.
Thank you, Kevin, for picking up the checks. Very kind of you. Shouldn't have done that, but I'm glad that you did. If you look down the Canyon of Heroes, and whether it's athletes, war heroes, or statesmen, and if you're looking for the person that doesn't have any scandal in their life, you're not going to find one.
Right.
First it was Columbus. Then it was the father of gynecology. Then it was Teddy Roosevelt. Then it was George Washington. Look, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. There's real problems in the country. Kate Smith singing God Bless America isn't one. It's amazing to me that there's not more outcry over this.
Couldn't agree more. Last question. Ancestry.com this week is under fire.
Yeah. This was the lead item on my show last Sunday for that
because they have a Thomas Jefferson like ad, and now they've pulled it.
Mm-hmm.
What did you make of that?
Well, so I have mixed feelings, honestly. I don't think that's as clear cut a case as what happened with Kate Smith or what happened with this radio commentator at St. Louis.
But isn't it honestly what Ancestry.com is about?
Well, that's what I said.
Like, you're uncovering the actual truth.
That's what I said. But when I talked about this on the radio and when I posted the ad on the Morano in the Morning Fans and Haters Facebook group, what more than one person said to me is, one, it does sort of make light of slavery because, you had people literally in danger of their lives. It's not as if they sat there and did that degree of kind of romanticizing of their situation that
you
they
don't know.
In. And two, when someone
Jefferson may have been a very romantic guy.
Well, that being said, right? So, the slaves that he had and was sleeping with still couldn't consent because if they said no, when you have literal ownership,
you don't know that.
Don't you? I think it's tough to establish a consensual relationship when you have a slave owner, slave master relationship, right? I mean, right? It's tough.
I know that popular psychologists would disagree, but I think if he did genuinely nice things for her, there could have been a genuine attraction. There could have been a genuine relationship.
Right. But when you have the ability to whip someone because they're not obeying your commands.
I'm not justifying slavery in any way.
Yeah, well,
but I don't know that the Ancestry.com ad endorsed rape and slave beating.
It certainly did.
But that's what the critics were implying.
So I see both sides of this one. I'm not sure.
I don't
think it's as clear.
To be honest, I don't care. I've got an Ancestry.com kit that I was given as a gift like 2 years ago. I still haven't used it. I don't care.
You're afraid of them catching you for some sort of crime that you've committed? That's why you won't swab your
DNA? No, not at all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, well, check is coming, so last call's in, and I guess that's another edition of Picking Up the Check. He's Frank Morano. I'm Kevin McCullough.
And he's Kevin McCullough.
Cheers.